Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
I hope I will not bore you by continuing to look at the last two verses of the prophecy of Malachi. I hope that what I'm dealing with does not seem tedious to you. I'm dealing, of course, with the interpretation of the statement that God will send Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, that Elijah the prophet will come before the Messiah comes, particularly before the Messiah comes to judge. That's the statement, and the question is, how are we to understand the fulfillment? And I belabor this point because I think it has implications and ramifications that go far beyond this one particular issue. Deciding who is the promised Elijah is a relatively minor matter, but recognizing the process that we must go through to think about this and to evaluate the Old Testament statement in the light of New Testament statements, I think is exceedingly important and profound, and is a life changer, is a game changer, as they say, when it comes to our way of understanding Scripture. So for that reason, I am pursuing it a little bit further, and I thank you for your patience. I hope it is being helpful to you. If I didn't think it was, I would just close the book, close the study, move on to a new one, and leave this behind. But I don't really think that's the best approach at this time. I believe it's profitable and needs to be pursued. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, April 14. Thank you for helping me with the financial cost of maintaining this broadcast on this station. The text under consideration is Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Malachi is speaking for God, and it's clearly God speaking. You see, the personal pronoun does not refer to Malachi when he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Obviously, God is saying that. So that's the verse, verse 5, "Behold, I, God, will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And here's what he's going to do when he comes. "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." That's the prophecy, the coming of Elijah, Elijah the prophet. It doesn't say, however, Elijah the Tishbite, and though that may or may not be a significant variation, it all depends on what conclusions you draw from the New Testament handling of this text. Nevertheless, I point that out. It does say Elijah the prophet, which in our minds would immediately mean Elijah the Tishbite, but in the light of New Testament scriptures, is that correct? Is he talking about Elijah the Tishbite, which would then demand a very literal fulfillment that involves the actual Elijah the Tishbite, who is also Elijah the prophet that we know about from the book of 1 Kings? Or is he talking about someone who is like Elijah, another prophet like Elijah, which though that doesn't fit exactly and in the most literal way, the language that we find in Malachi, it does follow a pattern of a lot of Old Testament prophecies in which the New Testament handling of them allows for and actually requires some broadening of the literal understanding of the language. And that's what we're looking at here. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, I have gone through the text, the New Testament text, all of them, that refer to this. So I simply, for the sake of you who may be listening for the first time today, simply will give you the location of the text so that you can study them for yourself, because we're going to move on. But in favor of this passage in Malachi being a prophecy about the coming of John the Baptist, which is what I now understand it to be saying in the light of what the New Testament says, and in favor of that understanding, you've got Luke 1, 15 through 17, Matthew 11, 12 through 14, and 17, Matthew 17, 11 through 13, as well as the corresponding text in Mark that is parallel to Matthew chapter 17. So you've got four statements in the New Testament that clearly and unequivocally identify this prophecy, this Elijah, with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we are told by the angel Gabriel in the first instance, and by Jesus Christ in the next three instances, we are told that John the Baptist is the prophesied Elijah. He fulfills this prophecy. But there is one text, and we looked at this one yesterday, that does call that understanding into question, and it's one found in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, where the Jews asked John himself if he were Elijah, and he said no. Now, if there weren't a reasonable explanation for John's statement, then we'd have a really major conflict here, contradiction. We'd have to weigh it. Because, and it's no question in my mind which way the weight would have to go. If Jesus said John is Elijah, even if John said, I'm not Elijah, we'll have to take the words, in my mind, we'll have to take the words of Christ over those of John. After all, John could have been the prophesied Elijah and didn't know it. That's a possibility. I didn't raise that yesterday. It's possible that he could have fulfilled that particular prophecy, but wasn't aware that he was the God-intended fulfillment of that prophecy. However, I don't think that's the best explanation. I think the best explanation is that John understood the question to be asking him if he were Elijah the Tishbite, and he wasn't. And he wasn't really explaining Malachi chapter 4 at all. He was just simply answering the question in the vein in which it was asked. I know what you're saying. You're asking me if I'm Elijah the Tishbite. In other words, if I'm Elijah resurrected from the dead. And the answer is no. And he moved on without explanation. That's the way I handle it. But as I say, there's another possibility, namely, that John really didn't even know that he fulfilled the prophecy, because it's a what should I say? It's without question in my mind that if Jesus said, as he did repeatedly, Jesus said that John is the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4, then clearly he is. But then, I think I did refer to this yesterday, and I'll just go back to it now. The opening statement in Malachi chapter 3, I think, also makes this clear, because there's another prophecy, and that statement is, Behold, I, again God, send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Now, we dealt with that one a long time ago, but that is God the Son saying, before I come, obviously that's who is referred to here, the Messiah, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, that's the Messiah. But before I, the Messiah, come, I will send my messenger. And that is a reference to the messenger that Isaiah prophesied that would come before Messiah to prepare the way, make every, you know, level every valley, or make the roads, make the way straight, and so forth. That, of course, is symbolic language, but that John would come and would minister in such a way that the way would be prepared for the coming of Messiah. He had a preparatory ministry and an effective one. And Malachi also prophesies along a similar vein, my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And then when we turn to chapter 4, we read, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, is this a different preparer that comes before the coming of the Lord, or is it the same one referred to in Malachi chapter 3? And I take it that it is the same one referred to in Malachi chapter 3, and he has the same preparatory ministry. Here it's spelled out in these terms, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So putting all that together, the only conclusion I can come to is that the New Testament declares that the Elijah, the prophet, of Malachi chapter 4 is indeed John the Baptist. Elijah is a powerful prophet, but John is an Elijah-like prophet who represents prophets like Moses. Elijah he was probably the most powerful and the most well-known of the Old Testament prophets, but he was also something of a representative prophet. And he represented prophets like Moses. And God commends Elijah, and Elijah's ministry was carried on by Elisha and others. But he represents, and you find this kind of language in the New Testament pretty frequently, Elijah represents the prophetic order. He is not only a literal prophet, but he represents the spirit of the prophets. And before the time of judgment will come, this is saying, God will activate the prophetic office, which was withdrawn for the 400 silent years. That is, before God judges an apostate church, he will send a prophet to warn them and to call them to repentance and to what they need to do to avert the judgment of God. That's the pattern you find all throughout Scripture. That's the ministry of many, if not all, of the Old Testament prophets, and that's the ministry of John the Baptist in reference to the coming of Messiah. Now, it is certainly possible, and I raise this and I'll leave it after saying this, it's certainly possible that there are aspects of this prophecy that apply to both the first and the second comings of Christ, but it's also clear that Jesus equates the coming of John the Baptist at the first coming of Christ with the prophecy in Malachi. So that much we know to be sure. In other words, it's clear to me that, at least this is my conclusion, that we must accept John the Baptist as the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6 because the New Testament says so, because Jesus says so. But we can acknowledge the possibility of even yet additional fuller fulfillment before the second coming of Christ, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens at that time. All right, end of subject. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.